Good morning to you all. It's indeed a blessing to be here. Is it all right that we came? Good. We're happy to be here. Really are. Grateful for the privilege of our family coming, and you know, come very often, but you know, some special things happen, and so it takes special time to come and spend time together, and we're grateful for that privilege and opportunity. Could we maybe just kneel together before we begin? Our Father in heaven, we do call upon you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, you know every heart, you know everyone that's in this building this morning, and we thank you for the work that you have done in our hearts. God, I confess that many times I take it for granted. But Lord, I'm here this morning to just say thank you again for what you've done in my own heart and for everyone here. We ask, O Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would help us to be steadfast and true, to be honest, to fear you and to walk with you in godliness and true holiness. Lord, we ask that you would come and Lord, you know, you heard the singing, the opening, the children's lesson, and all those things. You've heard your word being shared already. I ask for your blessing upon that. And I ask, oh God, as I continue to share here, you'd give me clear thoughts and an anointing and the ability to communicate and to share in a way that we can all understand your word and what you have for us. Lord, be with us here. We need you. Let the word fall on good ground here today. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The confusion of the charismatic gifts. The confusion of the charismatic gifts. This message has come as a result of various things. More recently here at home, one of the young men came asking some questions on the subject, trying to sort his way through it. As I consider bygone years and some of the things that have happened right in our midst, in our local congregation, I believe this subject is noteworthy. I think it's a subject that we need to consider. I remember quite a number of years ago, I'm going to say someone 20 years ago, on the job, there's a young man that I work with, and he, as I talk with him every day, and I share the gospel with him, I'd share the word of God, I'd open up the word of God, we talk about the Bible many, many times. And the day came through our conversation and the Lord moving in his heart, he got born again by the Spirit of God. And some time later, he started attending our local fellowship. And he was one of those young men. He was a young married man at the time. But I remember him as being one of those young men who had his heart set to serve God at all costs. That's the kind of young man that I remember. He was serious about serving God. He attended our congregation for, I'm not sure, maybe a year. I'm going to say less than 2 years. And he came to the place where he looked at some of the things we're going to talk about today. And as a result of some of those things and the confusion in his own heart, I'm going to call it confusion, and he viewed it as obedience to the Bible. As a result of that, he moved on to another congregation. Years went on by, and today he's in a setting that's way out there. There's no type or no kind of, as you look at his life, as you look at his family, there's no evidence of clear biblical obedience to God's word. And I'm going to say that there's a lot of confusion on the subject of what I'm going to call the charismatic gifts. There's a lot of confusion on the subject. And hey, thank you, young man. There's a lot of confusion on the subject. And I'm going to say that what I just described, I'm sure many of you relate to that whole idea. It's everywhere. It's out there. It happens right among us. And in people's desire to serve God, they go down a road that we sit here and we say, what is making all that happen? And I'm going to say that a lot of it is with a lot of sincerity of heart and a desire to serve God. There's things happen. There's two scriptures I like to read here in the beginning. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, want to read Mark chapter 16. We want to begin reading Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And these two scriptures that we're going to be looking at, I'm going to say, are some of the foundational things. There's other scriptures that could tie into it. We'll look at various ones. We go on down through here today, this morning. But I'd like for us to consider that these are some of the scriptures that have brought confusion to many. Mark chapter 16, we're going to start reading in verse 15, where it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These things shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man saying by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, here's a question that comes many times and that people ask. And I've heard this question numerous times over the years. I've heard this question, and I'm sure you have too, and you'll relate to this. The question, why do people from charismatic churches practice gifts that we don't? Why is that? Let me just read that question again. Why do people from charismatic churches practice these gifts and we don't? And I'm going to say that's a very worthy and noble question, right? Because I believe that everyone sitting in these pews here this morning has a desire to be obedient to the Word of God, right? We do. Not only to be obedient, but we want all that God has for us, right? I mean, I'm not satisfied with just a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, I want everything that God has for me, right? You're with me on that, right? You know, we want all that God has for us. That's what we want. Well, that's a real good question. And I'd like to answer that question this morning. Now, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but I'd like to, this morning, maybe put the answer together in a little nutshell and give you an overview of the conclusion. Can I do that? Give you an overview of the conclusion that I want to share here today. Give you an overview. So listen carefully as I share these words. Number one, the Pentecostal and the Charismatic Church has given us, here today, has given us a wrong mystical view of the gifts. Okay? And if I say wrong, I'm going to specify it this way. If you want to listen to me here, if I say wrong, I'm going to go so far as to call it doctrines of devils. Because it takes true biblical Christians and it moves them away from true Christianity. Okay, now let me read number one again. The Pentecostal and the Charismatic Church has given us a wrong mystical, I'm going to call it mystical, view of the gifts. It's a wrong view. I'm going to say that many of us have heard and some of us have adopted a wrong view of some of these gifts. Number two, I'd like to give us a biblical view of these gifts that is very understanding. It's very understandable and practical for us today. God wants His Word to be practical, right? I'd like to do that today. Let me just read that again. Number two, I would like to give us a biblical view of these gifts that is very understandable and practical for us today. Number three, some of these gifts are more geared toward outreach rather than functioning in the local church. Thus, we don't see as much of some of them. Now, I have a list of some of the things that we just read in those two passages that I'm just going to go down through and name them, and things that I'm going to say that we're often, we wonder about, we're not sure about, we're trying to find our way through. What does that really mean? In Mark 16, it talks about casting out of devils. It talks about new tongues. It talks about taking up serpents. It talks about if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. It talks about laying hands on the sick and they're going to recover. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gift of healing. It talks about the word of knowledge. It talks about the word of wisdom. It talks about prophecy. It talks about diverse kinds of tongues. It talks about interpretation of tongues. It talks about discerning of spirits. It talks about faith. And it talks about working of miracles. My goal here today is to go down through and just talk about each one of those and give us, take away that mystical, magical thing that's been floating out there that we look at and we say, oh, that's what it means. To a very, what I'm going to call a biblical, practical view of those gifts. And let me just, again, put that question out. Why do people from the charismatic churches practice gifts that we don't? And I'm just going to say very clearly again, they do that because they have a wrong, mystical, unbiblical view of those gifts. It's a wrong view. And there's many that have taken a hold of those things and started following after. Now, if I say a wrong view, I like to for us to consider what is a wrong view. If I say there's a wrong view of, about those gifts, I'm going to say that there's a right view of it. I know that there's many of us here just on this whole subject of having a wrong view. I know that there's many of us sitting here today, this morning, that in your younger days, there's a whole bunch of horrible immorality and ungodliness that you were involved in, right? And because of your involvement in all those wicked and ungodly things, your view of marriage and the holiness of marriage and the godliness of marriage was all put away with. You had a wrong view of marriage. Am I right? People that get involved with pornography and adultery and all those kind of things, it destroys the right view. It destroys it. It takes it away. It distorts it. And all of a sudden, you're saying, well, what is the real thing? What is the real thing? That's what we want to talk about this morning. What is the real thing? Not all this rubbish. What is the real thing? Well, let me first give you an example of what I mean by mystical in nature. Let me give you an example, and I could give quite a number of them, but I'm only going to give one this morning of these gifts being viewed as mystical in nature. In 1 Corinthians 12, it uses the phrase, the word of knowledge, as a gift that someone has.
the word of knowledge. Now let me describe to you what's meant by that. And I have been in settings in bygone days where this has happened. And it's done in various ways, but I'll just describe something that happened, okay? So there's this setting. It can be in a church setting like this. It can be in a little Bible study, a little prayer meeting, where all of a sudden there's someone that says, God just gave me a word of knowledge. And I believe there's someone in this circle, in this setting, and he says, is living in sin. Or there's a specific thing that's pointed to. There's someone here that's struggling with this. Everything's real quiet for a little while. And all of a sudden someone says, God spoke to me and that's me. And there's a repentance of that. He opens his heart and shares. That is viewed as what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 12 as the word of knowledge. Now it might look a little bit different than what I described, but I'm going to say that largely out in the quote charismatic in the Pentecostal churches, when there's discussion about the word of knowledge, that's what happens. That's what they practice. And there's someone has this God spoke to me, God speaks to you, and there's this, you know, thing going on. I like to just suggest that is not what the word of God or the word of knowledge really is. I like to suggest that God endows people, brothers in our midst, with the word of knowledge. Isn't that right, Mart? He endows people with the word of knowledge. I'll give you an example. So we sit in our brothers' meeting, and there's discussions, and brothers are sharing, and there's things, you know, there's discussions and deep thoughts, and you know, they're sharing back and forth. And as we're sharing, all of a sudden, there's a brother who's been sitting there that's been very quiet, and he's been listening, and he's been observing. And let me just tell you, he has a gift. He has this gift of the word of knowledge. And he's able to all of a sudden convey a thought that just brings everything together, and everyone says, that's it. That's it. Right? And that happens. That happens in our brothers' meetings, right? And there's a word of knowledge given, and it just brings clarity, it brings direction, it brings everything together. I'm going to suggest that is the word of knowledge. You know, in the early church, in the book of Acts, when the apostles came together with the elders, Paul and Barnabas had come, and there was this big discussion about whether it's necessary to observe the what do you call it? Oh, help me out. The circumcision. There's this big discussion about whether circumcision is necessary or not. You know, there's brethren from the local church, there's apostles, there's the elders. There's people from abroad, and they were all there. And it says that they had a lot of dialogue. And then all of a sudden, guess what happens? James brings a thought, and it just brings clarity to the whole situation, right? That was a word of knowledge. I'm going to suggest that those things happen regularly in our midst. And God Almighty endows brothers in our local church with the ability and the gifting to do that. And it's a blessing, isn't it, brothers? Okay, but compare that with me to this whole thing that the word of knowledge is put out here to be. Do you follow? And people look at that and say, Why is it that these gifts are going on out there and they're not happening here at Allen County Christian Fellowship? Right? And there's brothers that say, well, I want to do all that God has for me. I want to follow God all the way, right? And in the middle of that whole confusion, trying to sort through what it is, they get a hold of the wrong thing and they follow after what I'm going to say, false teaching, false doctrine. Therefore, the confusion of the charismatic gift. So that's one example. That's one example. But I'm just going to say that I feel burdened in my heart that we look at this subject in a very open and honest way and really look at what God has for us. Because I look back over the years in our local church and the people that I've communicated with for years, and I'm going to say there's been confusion there. And I'm going to say because this subject has not been clear enough in many of our minds, there are people who have fallen by the wayside. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I haven't taught clear enough. And I'm going to say that there's been quite a number of years that these things were questions on my heart, on my mind, and there's necessity for myself to sort through it all. God help us with all that. The view that these gifts are mystical in nature, or in a very simple, practical way, where they're functioning in our midst and we aren't viewing it in that manner already. There's quite a number of others that examples that I could give. Here's another heading. And the heading is this. The purpose and nature of a gift. And by the way, this whole word charismatic, that whole word comes from gift. If you go into 1 Corinthians 12 there and you look up the word gift, it means charismatic. Or, I'm sorry, charisma. The actual word is charisma. And that's where we get our word charismatic, is charisma. That's where we get the word. That's where it comes from. The purpose and nature of a gift, it's a spiritual endowment. Gifts are given so that the church can be edified. And again, I'd like to suggest that gifts are given primarily for the edification of the body of Christ, as well as to preach the gospel so the church can move forward. Gifts are given by God Almighty. It's not primarily for my own benefit, but for the benefit of others. So what is a gift? What is a gift? Gift, I'm going to suggest that a gift is something that's been given to us. And it's something that just naturally flows out of us. And Barry, I'm going to pick on you, right? Is it okay if I do that? Okay. And I could do it, with one of the others too. But all of you know Barry quite well, I think. And there's something about Barry that I'm going to say he has the gift of an evangelist, right? I mean, there's just everything about him pants for the gospel to be going out and for churches to be planted. There's something within him that just pants for that. Now, I'm going to suggest that Barry, he looks at everyone else here and he says, these lazy fellows, why in the world don't they get out of their seat and out and open their mouth and just share the gospel? And let me just tell you that the reason that is because he is gifted with the work of an evangelist. And there's something that's just, it just comes out of him, right? It's just there. It just, as he walks with God, that's just where his mind goes. That's just where his thoughts go. That's just, it just bubbles out of him. And the closer that he walks with God, heavier those burdens get. And now if we're, if we'd be all evangelists, there wouldn't be all these other gifts. They wouldn't be around, right? I'm going to suggest that God has placed in the church, in this local church, many gifts. And, there's some brothers here. If I use this little word, the gift of mercy, all of a sudden your mind goes to a certain brother, right? He's got a gift of mercy. It's just there. I mean, something happens, something is sort of a big deal, and all of a sudden this brother just sort of comes alongside and is just there, just showing mercy, showing compassion. His heart comes out and it's just, he's just there for the brothers and the sisters. It's just, it just comes out of him and he looks around and says, why isn't everyone else merciful like I am, right? And there's some that have the gift of teaching, and when they get up behind this pulpit, it just sort of bubbles out of them, and they look around and say, hey, let's just, why isn't everyone else just teaching? And the more teaching we'd have, the better we'd be off as a church. All we need is more teaching, right? Just a whole bunch more teaching and everything will be fine. Right? Okay. The nature of a gift is that it's something that God just sort of gives us, and it's a burden, and it's just there, right? Just there. So as we look at these various gifts, I'm going to suggest that it's something that's just there. It's not something that gets drummed up by some major revival, some major, whatever it is. It's just there. Now, the Bible is very clear that we should seek after spiritual gifts. There's various ways that gifts are given. Sometimes gifts are given by the laying on of hands. Sometimes with various other ways gifts are given. But I like to suggest that if we have a gift, it's something that's just there, and it's just a burden. It's just there, and it comes out of us. It's just as we, the closer we walk to God, it's just, those things are just there. It's there. The nature of a gift. It will manifest itself largely by a person having a burden, and it'll be the natural outflow of a person. Now, our local congregation, there's a couple brothers. If I use the word teaching, there's immediately two brothers that come to people's mind every time. Two brothers, just boom. And it's not me. Now, it doesn't say I don't teach, but there's brothers that just, it's just there. They have the ability to just take the Word of God and open the Bible and take verse by verse and just talk about, these three verses and then the next, three verses and next three words, and it all of a sudden, this, it just builds into a beautiful, beautiful teaching that God has put before us. Now, does that mean that someone that doesn't have the gift doesn't practice these things? Okay, so I don't have the gift of mercy, but should I be merciful? Right? So, I don't necessarily have the gift of an evangelist, but should I share the gospel? Now, if I don't have the gift of healing, should my burden, or should I exercise myself in some of those things? I should, right? Okay, I'm here to suggest that there are some of those things that will naturally come out of us because of our giftings. Then a step further, even if they naturally come out of us, we shouldn't be limited to just that. there's many other things that we need to exercise ourselves in. I need to move on quickly. We do something about that clock back there. Can a person have a gift without knowing it? Yeah, most certainly. Most certainly. A person can have the gift without him knowing it. Those burdens are just going to be there. And it's okay for us to be aware of it, but we aren't always aware of it. As time goes on, some of those things become more clear in our own minds. Let me just clarify again. These gifts are not mystical in nature. Now, I want to clarify that as I go on down. You know, there is gifts of miracles and some of those things, but I come back to say they're not mystical in nature. They're not mystical in nature, but very understandable. There are some people who seek after signs or miracles, who seek after them. But in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." We're very clearly instructed to not seek after a sign. "There shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas." There are some people who chase after gifts. I'm sure you've heard of some of that, where people are chasing after gifts. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts." I'm going to suggest that it's right for us to desire spiritual gifts. It's right, it's proper, and in order. But there are some people who chase after those things for years and years. They're seeking after a certain gift, and they just can't quite get it. Let me tell you, that's happening because they have their focus on the wrong thing. We should never chase after. It is okay to desire. It's okay to ask. But it comes. Gifts, things come in various ways. You know, I think I might have mentioned this before, but back... Back when I was first ordained, they laid hands on me. I used to have a stuttering problem. They prayed for me specifically about that. They prayed that the Lord would help me to preach the gospel and to take that whole thing away. And guess what? He did. Right to do those things. So what is a biblical view of these gifts? What is the biblical view? I'd like to maybe start with the gift of healing. The gift of healing. And as we go down through here, I'm going to suggest that all of these, there's this side over here that's largely put out by the Pentecostals and a charismatic church. And there's that side of things. And then over here you have what I'm going to say, the right thing. And this whole thing of healing, I'm going to say that in this local area, in this local conservative churches, and in our local area, I'm going to say there's a lot of this whole idea of healing is practiced in a wrong way. There are many people who they lay hands on the sick, and they anoint them to die. You know what I mean by that? When a person comes to the age where they're frail and they're old and they're almost ready to die, then they lay hands on them and they pray for them. But I'm going to suggest that that's not the real thing. Out there, in that realm out there, this whole faith healing movement, I'm going to suggest that there is a pressure put on this whole idea of healing, that in their minds it's put out there that when someone comes and lays hands on you to heal you, if you don't get healed, it's because You don't have enough faith. And I'm going to suggest that the push behind all that is a wrong push. It's false teaching. I give recognition to the fact that Jesus said that he couldn't heal some of them because they didn't have faith. We give recognition to that. But it's very clear in James and in other scriptures that there's instruction given that if they're sick, they should call for the elders of the church. They should lay hands on. They should anoint with oil for healing. And let me just tell you, that's a bunch of exciting stuff. I could tell you all kinds of stories over the past 25 years of people who have gotten healed by laying on of hands and anointing of oil. A whole lot, a whole bunch, and major miracles that have happened with anointing with oil and laying on of hands. I'll just give you one as a very simple one. There's this girl that was in our midst, and this girl, her face was all, I'm not sure what it was called, but she had all kinds of pimples, big boil-type pimples on her face. And she struggled with it for years, and it just is a very difficult thing she was facing. And one day, she came, she asked for anointing of oil, for laying on of hands for healing, and we laid hands on her, and a couple weeks later, that thing was totally gone. She had a face just like everyone else, and she was plagued by this thing for years. There's another one. There's a lady that had some kind of an ailment, and she was on kind of a medication for health reasons for her. She was down to where she, there's actually only a couple foods that she could eat. There's many, many foods that every time she would eat, she'd react to them, and she was on medication. And anyhow, all that to say, she came and she wanted healing. We laid hands on her, and she had forgotten to take the medication that morning, and she was about that at the place where it really is, you know, showing up. And that day we laid hands on her. And she never took another pill. Her health came back to normal. She could eat all the foods that she did previously as a young girl. She was all healed. There was just more recently, there's one of our older brothers in our fellowship. He had, his heart was causing him problems. He had gone to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Your heart is missing." And, you know, he's in his 80s. He's up there. He's up there and in age, and he's at the age where you could just, you know, he'll be gone one of these days. But he asked for anointing. We laid hands on him, and he has a couple daughters that are in the home yet. He adopted a couple daughters, and there's a couple daughters in the home. And we just asked the Lord, "Lord, would you come and bring healing to his heart? You know, these daughters, you know, they need a dad yet. And would you give them a couple years so they could have a dad yet in the years where they're at?" And God just healed. That heart murmur, the other thing was just gone. At the same hand, there's quite a number over the years that we anointed and God didn't heal. Right? That happens. God didn't heal. And with all that, it's important that a person comes to where they have clear faith that God can and will do it. And if he somehow chooses not to, that's okay. That's okay. I give you many, many stories over the years. Wonderful things that God did. But then there's also those that came and they asked and they didn't get healed. They didn't get healed. And we give that to God, right? But we're doing what he asked us to do, right? We're obeying him. We're stepping forward in faith. Let me tell you, it's sad, the stories I'm sure some of you have heard some of the stories that are out there of all the pressure that gets put on people to come for healing and all the big, you know, big things that'll happen, and people don't get healed, and they're put on this guilt trip, and for years and years and years they struggle with the fact. Somehow I'm trying to have faith. I'm trying to believe, and somehow I don't have faith, and it puts them in a confusion. And let me just tell you, that's not the will of God. Not the will of God.
Here's another one. Prophecy. Prophecy. There is this thing, maybe I should say it this way, on the whole area of the gift of prophecy, I'm going to put it out that it's two things. And one is that a man is inspired by the Holy Ghost and he opens his mouth and he prophesies, or he shares the word of God out of an unction and an anointing and the Spirit of God. They prophesy the word of God. It's preaching the word. It's sharing. It's not just standing behind this pulpit, but it's opening our mouth and prophesying. There are some people that just have this gift where it's just in them to just share the word, just under the anointing of God to just share the gospel. There's another thing. That prophecy out there in this Pentecostal and charismatic churches, prophecy is normally put out there to be when I prophesy an upcoming event of something that's going to happen. I'm going to say that there's one, if you look in the New Testament, there's one example given. And that's of Agabus, where he prophesied of what was going to happen to Paul. And according to, as I look at Scripture and the Word of God, that happened once. But if you look at the majority of what prophecy is used for, the majority of the time, it's a man having a gift, and he opens his mouth and he shares the gospel. Under the anointing of God, he shares the Word of God. He has a gift to prophesy. But out there, you don't have that gift unless you are able to prophesy an upcoming event in the future. I'm going to say that's false teaching, that idea that alone is prophesying. You only see it one time in the early church, from what I can see. Here's another one. In my name shall they cast out devils. And again, here you have on one hand what it's put out there to be, and on the other hand you have the real thing. And on the negative side of things, there's people that are looking for demons and evil spirits, and I talk to them occasionally, and yet it seems like everything they talk about is, you know, they talk about the devil this and the devil that and casting out this spirit and, you know, casting out the, you know, evil spirit here. And you can hear that they're overtaken by the whole thing. Let me just tell you, that's not what it's all about. On the same, or on the flip side, it's very clear that in our day, there are people who the devil, evil spirits have taken control of them, and they need someone to come, and they do need deliverance to come, and they need help. And there's very clearly a place to cast out an evil spirit in Jesus' name. But then there's also this whole thing where people talk about the spirit of drunkenness. And they have an evil spirit, and you need to cast out the evil spirit of drunkenness and the spirit of lust and the spirit of anger and all these different spirits. Let me just tell you, that's not
the true teaching that Jesus gave us in the New Testament. There is the real thing. Then there's some of these cliches and things that people put out and the views that are out there that are not right. Here's another one. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with other languages. And that's specifically there in Mark chapter 16. It says they're going to go out. And there's going to be these tongues, these languages. Let me just first of all say, here again we have what it's put out there to be. But I'm going to suggest that this whole, primarily what you see on the whole tongues movement is false teaching and false doctrine. Primarily. Primarily what you see out there is false teaching, and it's this whole thing again where it's mystical and it's magical in nature. Right? You know, there's this praying in tongues. And, you know, someone kneels down and they pray and they, quote, supposedly pray in another language, and they don't understand what they're communicating. I'm not here to say that they're not speaking in another language, but I am here to say that what they're doing is not what it's put out here to be. If you go into the book of Acts and you read through the book of Acts, if we would only have the book of Acts, we would come away with this interpretation. We would say that tongues is something that is according to, if you do some word studies, and if you look at what happened, in 1 Corinthians it says that tongues is for a sign to them that believe not. It gives us the reason, the purpose for tongues. It's for them that believe not. That's what it says. Okay, so if you go into the book of Acts, guess what happened? The apostles, they got up, they started preaching, and as they preach, there's all these different languages. And they all heard it, and they understood it in their own language. There were some people there that looked on and said, oh, you know, this is early in the morning, and you know, did these guys have too much to drink, or, you know, what's going on? Because they didn't understand everything that was said. So I'm going to suggest that there was both a speaking and a hearing that was going on. They were preaching, and all of a sudden they were able to speak in a different language, in a language they didn't know prior, but they clearly knew what they were saying. And they heard just recently in a local neighboring church of ours back home, there was they were out sharing the gospel on the street, and as they were sharing, all of a sudden afterwards, there was a girl walk up and she said, I didn't know you could speak in that language, in this Chinese language. And the girl said, well, I was speaking English. I said, you were? I understood every word you said in my mother tongue. You think that's tongues? But all of a sudden you come into Corinthians and you read through there, and the way that Paul put some of those things brings confusion. And I have a sermon that, if you have more questions about that, I have a sermon that I preached on the subject. I like to just suggest that this whole tongue thing that's out there, I'm going to say that's primarily false teaching. It's primarily false teaching. And people go after that. They desire it. Because of it, they get derailed from biblical obedience to God's word. And it doesn't turn out right. It doesn't turn out right. There's nowhere. Let me just say this. You know, all of us here have heard of the whole thing of praying in tongues, right? There is no example anywhere in the New Testament of anyone praying There is no example of private prayer tongues in the New Testament. No example. None. There's no example of private prayer tongues in the New Testament. I'll take it a step further. Interpretation of tongues. I like to say that interpretation of tongues, what is normally put out there is there's this thing where I hear someone speak in another language and I don't know what it means, but I have this divine revelation and I have this understanding and then I share with you all what's said. Let me tell you that false teaching. Interpretation of tongues is as simple as some of us going into another country and you know, we have interpreters and they're interpreting. It's as simple as that. And, you know, I've had people, you know, when I was preaching in other countries, I've had people stand beside me and as fast as I could preach, they preached beside me with the same expression, the same heart. They were right there. And then I've had others that were not gifted with tongues, and they tried to interpret, and they stuttered around, and they asked me, so, what did you mean by that? And, you know, and how was that? And, it just didn't flow, right? Not everyone's gifted with that. I'm going to say that interpretation of tongues is as simple as that. But it's all this mystical stuff that's put out there to be, and that's false doctrine. It's false teaching. Here's another one. They shall take up serpents. Now, one of the brothers from our local church, he lived down in Virginia for a time. Right next door to our home there, they have this charismatic Pentecostal church. And in church on a Sunday morning, they would bring in these big snakes. And they would take turns, you know, for brothers and sisters to come, take the snake and you know, handle it to prove that the scripture is true, that they can take up serpents and it doesn't hurt them. And one of them got bitten and he died. They had all their reasons why he died. Let me just tell you this. That's not what that scripture is saying. That scripture is saying that just like Paul, you're going to get into situations where things will happen and you might get bitten and there's going to be miracles happen, and some of those things, they won't affect you because you're fervent in the faith, you're sharing the gospel, and some of those things will happen and they won't even affect you. It's not that I'm going to try to prove that a snake won't bite me and a snake won't kill me. That's not what it's all about. Right? People walk after that stuff. Wow, that's quite the phone call. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. It shall not hurt them. Let me just say that, you know, when we're out there sharing the gospel, and again, let me just say, some of these gifts are specifically lend themselves toward outreach. Okay, so in a local church setting like this, some of these things won't happen a lot. But you go over to Haiti, or you go over to Africa, or you go to some other remote area, or you go up to Akron, and all of a sudden, in some of these places, God shows himself strong, and there's some of these things happen. You know, I remember some years ago, Jason's and us were up in Akron, and you know, they've worked with the people up there for quite a number of years. But there's a man there that he was a Hindu. He was involved in all kinds of witchcraft. It's horrible stuff. But as we were sharing the gospel, he had an ailment in his back. He had a major problem. But As I was there sharing, Jason's and us, we were there sharing, and it, I felt impressed of God to just simply tell him that, you know, if you turn away from all that witchcraft and all that idolatry and all that horrible stuff, and you turn to God, God's going to come and he'll heal you. After I said it, I was sitting there, I was like, that was a lot to say, right? But I felt inspired, right? There's something that just welled up within me. It was just there, and I just shared. And sometime later, he turned away. And when he turned away from all that stuff, and he turned to God, he repented of his sins, God healed him. And I remember him coming back to us a short time later, and all his neighbors, they were saying, what happened to him? He can walk like a normal man. And it was a testimony everywhere of the power of God. Right? So Faith, I missed sharing that whole thing about having the gift of healing. In all of these things, there are some people that just, you know, have this thing where it just wells up. Well, I think we ought to just pray, lay hands on him and heal. Okay? Now, not everyone has that, right? But someone that has a gift of healing, it just wells up. It just, you know, just like Benji or Barry, like, you know, you have this gift and it's like, it just wells up. Okay? And, you know, if you have the gift of healing, all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, we need to lay hands on this person. We need to pray for him. I mean, God can heal him. I mean, you know, we don't need to take him to the doctor, right? It just, all right. Now, all of us do that, right? But there's some people that it's just there, right? It just wells up. That's what a gift is.
Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. We already talked about the word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. There are some people in our midst who I'm going to say they have a gift of not only in our local brothers meeting when a situation comes up, but it's a broader understanding of wisdom they have. They have an ability to look at the big picture, and there's wisdom there that is God-given, and they can look at a certain situation and there's just wisdom comes out of them about how all this is going to develop, and, you know, this is where we need to go. It just, you know, some people just have this gift of wisdom and it's just there and they share it and it benefits the whole body. Discerning of spirits. And there again, I'm just very quickly going to go on down through here. But discerning of spirits the same way. There are some people who have a gift of discerning. A little bit like Jesus did when he looked at Peter and James and John, you know, the sons of thunder, when they wanted to do their things, he said, you don't know what spirit you are of. Okay, some people have the gift of discerning spirits and the ability to just see that, you know, that push, that, you know, what's really being put out there, there's just something wrong with that. They have an ability to discern things that other people don't all have. There's a gift there. The gift of faith. Now, the gift of faith. Faith. We can't even get converted without having faith, right? But there's some people who have a gift of faith. Ooh. A gift of faith. Let me describe it this way. You know, there's some of us that have a gift, there's some of us that, you know, if situations come up, we look at it and we say, I just don't know if I can do that. I just don't know if I'm able to do that. And there's another brother that's, you know, beside us, and he has a gift of faith. And guess what's going to just come up and out of him? He's going to say, oh, God's able to do that. Come on. Come on. I mean, just rise up. Just do what the Bible says. I mean, right?
He has a gift of faith. And the faith that he has comes out and it pushes other people toward a stronger faith in Christ Jesus. A stronger obedience to God's word. Right? That's what it is. Very simple, very practical. Working of miracles. Working of miracles. Here again, you have this whole idea out there that if we don't have miracles going on in our midst, there's something wrong, and people start looking for miracles. Let me just say this. Miracles, if you look at where it's used there in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, it's used there in the whole context of, again, reaching out. Miracles happen. I mean, they happen. And some people have the gift of just being inspired and they just move forward and God does miracles. But miracle, the gift of miracles, is not something that we as a church sit here and we're trying to drum up miracles. We're trying to do things and it's all these things we're trying to drum up. No. It says that it follows them that believe, right? And it's primarily out there on the battlefront as a sign so that people can look on and they say, oh, their God is real. You know, that's the true God. I mean, my God can't do that. Like, you know, did you follow? And they look on and say, yeah, that's the real thing. So miracles follow them that believe. And it's some people have the gift of, it's just all of a sudden it just comes up and out and there, you know, things happen, right? It's not that we sit here and try to drum up, well, I think we need some miracles, so we, you know, we're going to try this and we're going to try that. No, that's not how these gifts work. That's not how it works. The confusion of the charismatic gifts. I'd like to just bring us back and just say, over here, there's a big, vast field of false teaching. When we read these verses, we sitting here, I'm going to say this is strong words, but many of us sitting here this morning, when we read these verses, we think of what we see in the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. And we think, oh, I'm not doing it. Oh, we're not real Christians. That's my concern. I'm going to suggest that we need to come back and view these gifts the way God really intended us to believe, to follow after, and to look at them the way he wants us to. And he'll use them to further the kingdom right here in our midst, to further the gospel out on the field. He'll use these things. But there's a right way and a wrong way. And I'm just going to say very strongly, I'm going to say that many of us, right, sitting right through here, have picked up our ideas and our thinking from what we see in the Pentecostal and charismatic circles. And I'm going to say it's false teaching, false doctrine, and doctrines of devils. And it's deceived many people. And it'll continue to deceive many people unless we can identify and follow after the real thing. May the Lord help us. Lord's blessings to all of us.